to 7 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You want to enable yourself? You want to have an effect on what's going on in the world around you? Tune in, get out the vote every day, 5 days a week on Tantalk. At 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock Tuesday to Friday and 4 to 5 on Monday, and hear some of the biggest personalities in your community talk about why, if you don't vote, you're wasting your influence in our community.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bobby Day, wasn't it? Hey, I guessed right. That one really gets you going. One of those you can't help yourself. You got to start snapping your finger or tapping your feet or doing something. You can't just sit there and listen to it. It's very catching. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. This is a very catching show, by the way. Once you listen to us, you can't get away from it. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, July 17th. Wow, we're moving along in this month. In a few minutes, Scott Lincecum from the Cato Institute will be with us. We will talk about normalizing trade relations with China. Was that a good idea? Was giving them permanent normal trade relations a little while back, was that a bad idea? Well, it should be an interesting talk, so stay tuned for that. And Donald Trump's poll numbers continue to go south. Is it time for Republicans to worry about all of this? Will the pandemic do him in? Well, we're going to find out when we talk with the proprietor of the real poll, as far as Mid-America is concerned, the Barber poll, Andrew Ceraci. And two Princeton professors say the cancel culture could logically do in the Democratic Party. And we're going to talk a little bit about what they had to say about it. So stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, in Hollywood, you know, a lot of those heroes and leading men and all that stuff, we're not that tall. You know, the camera could do wonders, right? So who were the top 10 shortest leading men in Hollywood, in the movies? We will talk about that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For you guys in Tampa Bay, if you do not know about Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you don't know that the best barber in Tampa Bay is Andrew and his merry men and women. And they're located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. To get an appointment, you got to get an appointment. Can't walk in these days, right? You got to get an appointment. So just do this. Call this number for your appointment, 727-733-3773, 733-3773. Place is clean, and you're going to get a great haircut and a great price. Everything. Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right. Well, lots going on as usual. This is a little bit disconcerting for those of you that want to see Donald Trump back in the saddle in November. As coronavirus cases surge and states roll back reopenings, Joe Biden has opened up his biggest lead of the year. He is leading, according to the Quinnipiac poll, Trump by 52 to 37%. That sounds bad. Now, that's of registered voters, and this compares to a June 18th poll where Biden leads Trump 49-41%. That doesn't sound so bad, right? But since March, Biden's lead has ranged from 8 to 11 points. So, you know, this pandemic, let's be honest, this pandemic has not been helping the president. He can't get out. He can't do his rallies. You know, he's the kind of guy that needs to be out there talking directly to the people. And the pandemic is stifling all of that. And, you know, people are fickle. People are fickle. No matter what, if things aren't going well, they're going to blame the president. And if things are going well, they will, in some cases, most of the cases, they credit the president. So you're in a pandemic that he didn't cause. People are going to go, why isn't he getting us out of this? Now, is there any rationality to that? No. He's doing the best he can. And those of us that follow this thing know that none of the Democrats have any ideas that are better than the administration's. They don't. But it's easy to sit on the sideline. It's like watching a football game. Why didn't the guy catch the pass? You're sitting on the sideline in the stands. Right? As far as you're concerned, everything they do out there, you can criticize. So that's what happens with him. He's the guy that's out there, and it's just the luck of the draw. But right now, independents are a key factor behind Biden's widening lead. And that's a little scary because it's independents that always make the difference between who wins and who loses. Right now, independents back Biden 51-34%. In June, it was only a 3% difference. Back then, it was 43-40. That's a month ago. So what's going on? You can't say that all the polls are wrong. And I know when we talk with Andrew a little later, he's going to say he doesn't believe in polls. But if the situation were reversed and Trump was winning in all of these things, a lot of people that don't believe in the polls would all of a sudden believe in the polls. So it's an emotional thing, right? And yes, I think there are some people that are probably not being honest, right? I think there are. I think that no matter what, I do think there are more. When it comes to actually voting, there will be a closer situation. But there is the reason right now to worry, and I'm not sure that Trump has got anything that's going to counteract it. We just have to have some luck with the pandemic. That's what it's going to be, the pandemic. If he loses and we look back in history on this, we're going to say it's the pandemic that did him in. Because he was going fine, and the economy was going great before the pandemic. I mean, all the issues were on his side, in my opinion. The border, you know, all of the issues that had to do with security. I mean, even this, the protests. I think that basically Americans look at those people that are running around throwing crowbars through windows and going, no, I don't like that kind of thing. I think that's an issue Trump wins. It's the pandemic right now. Now, the good thing is, look at the stock market. Despite all of the unemployment going on, the stock market continues to hover well. I'm not sure what it is right now this morning, but it's doing a very good job overall. But you got to remember the public. And the public is, I mean, as much as we would want them to be knowledgeable, they're fickle. And overall, they don't listen to television news like a lot of us do now. They just don't. They don't. Now, as we get closer to the election, those poll numbers that we're talking about right now are going to become much more accurate because people will then hone in and tune in and think in, and they're not right now. So I think that's probably, in some ways, that's good news.
You say a 14-point lead, basically.
It's a 52-37, so... Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's a 15-point lead right now. So it can't be completely wrong.
Do you have any friends that have come out and said, Biden's my guy?
But, you know, we're in a little pocket here. And the same thing with a lot of people. We're in a pocket. Let's be honest. We're in a little pocket here. But we're just one pea in a barrel.
I know that's a big country. What I'm trying to say
if
is,
you're in the middle of a city and you're going around and asking, you'll find it's different. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. I agree. If we wander around here, I think it's much more, quite frankly, you know, among the people that we see, probably Trump. I agree with that. But this is, we got 330 million people, so we got to kind of look at the whole thing. I just think we have to, I think Republicans, I mean, now Trump's got a new campaign manager, right? So they see that, despite what Trump might say up front. They see that they've got to go in a different direction because these numbers got to change for him. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Scott Lincecum from the Cato Institute about the concept of normalizing trade relations with China.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back and delighted to have with us Scott Lincecum. He is a senior fellow in economic studies at the Cato Institute. And believe it or not, we are approaching the 20th anniversary of permanent normal trade relations with China. And the question is whether or not that philosophy is doing us well here in the United States. Scott, welcome to Freedom Works.
No, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, right now, let's face it, China is not well-liked, not only in this country, but around the world, because there is just so much going on with this COVID-19 and how China perhaps allowed this thing to get worse and worse before, quite frankly, before publicizing it and warning people. So we've got that going on. But in your piece, Testing the China Shock, Was Normalizing Trade with China a Mistake? You seem to make the case that it was not a mistake to conduct. So tell us a little bit about your feeling on this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's really important to step back and think about the decision that American policymakers were making at the time that the decision was made. And that's really the critical point of the paper, is that it is very easy for us to sit in 2020 and look at COVID and look at human rights issues, look at territorial expansionism in China, all these bad things, and say, wow, American policymakers really made a huge mistake back then. The point of the paper is really to look at that and answer a couple questions. First is, you know, what would have happened in the absence of granting China permanent normal trade relations? And second is, was there really a realistic opportunity for the United States to, at that time, deny China's accession to the World Trade Organization. And, you know, as I detail in the paper, I think the answer to the first question is that China's rise would have occurred regardless of what the United States did. The fact is that at the time, in the late 1990s, the Chinese economy was actually becoming far more market-oriented, that every other WTO member at the time wanted to admit China into the WTO, and really that regardless of what the United States had done, that economic rise was going to occur. You know, perhaps PNTR, Permanent Normal Trade Relations, assisted with that. But the reality is that it was something outside of the control of American policymakers, particularly, again, given the information that was there at the time.
Right.
But the second thing is that if you actually look at what was going on, again, in the late 1990s, you really see that American policymakers were making really a pragmatic choice, that they saw a massive market in China, again, that was at the time modernizing, becoming more market-oriented than the rest. They saw that the only thing denying China PNTR would do would be to hurt American exporters, particularly in agriculture, but in all sectors, because every other country was going to have access to that market. And so that decision, a very pragmatic one, also issues in foreign policy with North Korea and the rest, that decision was really made, again, based on these kind of routine commercial and foreign policy calculus, not, as is now commonly said, some sort of dream of having a democratic China 10, 20 years later.
Right, right. The libertarian in me always says, you know, it's good to have China and the goods, services, et cetera, even if they are dumping to some extent, because in the long run the consumer benefits from a lower price. And I think there's a lot to be said about that argument, because, you know, every country that we do trade relations with, they're in there for their own selfish self-interest, which is understandable. We are in this for our own self-interest. Yeah. That's just the way human behavior works. But here's Donald Trump, who, you know, was trying to, at first trying to tout his relationship with President Xi of China.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of gone south with what's been going on with, because we all know that it's a closed society in China. So you're kind of balancing, I guess, you know, the trade relationships ongoing and what China is doing, say, in Hong Kong with the COVID-19 and all of that, right?
Right, and you know, there is a, again, a really essential need to think about what would China be if the United States had somehow tried to isolate itself from the Chinese economy. I mean, would we really be in a better position in terms of national security, in terms of our economy and the rest, if there were, say, two dueling spheres of influence, one this China sphere and the other this U.S. sphere, would that really be better? Would, you know, there is a lot of studies that show that countries that trade do not go to war with each other. And so there, and of course, there's a long history of trading blocks, you know, in World War One and World War Two, these trading blocks ending up, you know, going to war. So there is a question of, you know, in terms of kind of these basic security issues, you know, was economic engagement preferable? And again, as I argue, it was. But that's really not to say that there haven't been a ton of mistakes since that decision in the early 2000s. You know, there are a lot of things that the U.S. government, through the W administration, the Obama administration, and now, quite frankly, the Trump administration, has done wrong that have actually made things worse and have actually helped China gain influence in the Asia-Pacific region. And as I argue in the paper, I think it's those decisions that we really need to focus on.
We're talking with Scott Linsacombe. He is the a senior fellow in economic studies at the Cato Institute, and he has penned a piece, Testing the China Shock: Was Normalizing Trade with China a Mistake? Well, you know, so right now, the furthest thing maybe from a lot of minds is the trading. But it goes on. It goes on. But with what is going on in Hong Kong, a free trade section, and how they are trying to China is trying to swallow it up. Taiwan, another independent like Hong Kong. And the government of China has had its eyes on that island for a very long time. So there's all kinds of activity there. It's very hard to separate.
Yes.
The politics, I guess, and the trade as far as China is concerned. They just influence each other, don't they?
They do, and it really it is quite difficult, as you know. Look, there's no doubt that China is engaging in all sorts of really bad and problematic behavior, particularly in that region, particularly Hong Kong and the rest. The question is, what can we really do about it as the United States government? And what is the optimal strategy there? And that's, again, where I think the economics come back into it. There has to be a question of whether wholesale economic, what they call decoupling of the two economies. First of all, whether that's even realistic. But even if it is that actually a better way to influence Chinese behavior? Is that a strategy that might actually achieve some sort of change in the Chinese government's actions? And I think the answer to that is likely not. It's simply, it might feel good. We hear a lot about it, but it probably would put us in a worse position, not a better one. But you said something that's interesting, and actually you said, not a lot of people are thinking about the trade. Well, I actually kind of wish that was the case. But the reality is that policymakers from President Trump on down seem to consistently point back to, again, this permanent normal trade relations decision in the late 90s and early 2000s, as if it is to blame for everything that has happened since. And again, that was really the motivation for writing my paper. I think it's a far more complicated and nuanced issue than the idea that American policymakers just ignorantly flipped a switch in the late 1990s, and all of a sudden we had all these Chinese imports, and they did it out of these naive belief that we were going to have a democratic China 10 years later. I mean, you hear that narrative a lot. And I think the point is to really push back on that and say, look, this is a complicated, a very difficult issue. It is probably the geopolitical issue of our generation. Mm-hmm. And that requires a really a smart look at it, not this kind of very rudimentary, basic calculus that, we made a mistake 20 years ago and now we're screwed.
Right. And I was really thinking about the public in general as far as worrying about trade. Of course, the Trump and the administration, the politicians are always thinking about. But here's the thing, Scott. What do you do when a country like China, say, is intentionally stifling the advancement, for instance, of there's even talk that they with this COVID-19 to intentionally keep the information. I mean, there are a lot of things. Do you just sit back and take it, get slapped around by China? What if you're not going to be able to sanction them with trade? How do you go about dealing with what they are doing, and foisting upon the world?
Yeah, well, I think, again, it's critical to look back at what has worked and what hasn't worked with not only China, but with other economies as well. And first, let's start with what hasn't worked. If you look back at the history of the United States' use of unilateral sanctions or tariffs or tariff threats, it's really historically been a pretty ineffective strategy in terms of convincing other countries to do what we want. And this goes back decades. In fact, I wrote another paper for Cato about 3 years ago on just this subject, that these unilateral actions really don't tend to work very well. And I think we've seen that again, quite frankly, in the use of tariffs today. The Chinese government has simply not bent to our will after we slapped tariffs on hundreds of millions of dollars of Chinese imports. But unilateral actions tend not to work. What does tend to work are multilateral actions. So getting a bunch of countries together and working with allies in either through trade agreements like the World Trade Organization or the Trans-Pacific Partnership are these types of things, or working through other just simply kind of ad hoc coalitions. So working with Europe and Japan and Australia and Brazil and the rest, and trying to get together a coalition of countries to actually put some pressure on. And at that time, multilateral sanctions might actually be more effective.
Yeah, I think you make, you make a good point. Trump doesn't seem to go that route because he's got all these issues with all these countries. Let's be honest. He's not necessarily a gatherer when it comes to... He wants America to go its own way somewhat.
Yeah. And that's a very nice way to put it. But you look at like Huawei, for example, this Chinese tech company that's supposedly taking over 5G, right? So the United States is trying to convince all of these countries around the world to not use Huawei's products. But at the same time, we're also starting trade wars with these countries, you know, Europe being the ultimate example, but also with Japan and others that, you know, this... The opportunity is there to create a pretty strong coalition. I mean, there's really not a lot of countries in the world that are super excited to be doing business with China, first of all, but second of all, that are not really happy with China's behavior in Hong Kong and elsewhere. And there's this tremendous opportunity for the United States to lead on this issue and to help U.S. companies in the process. And unfortunately, we seem right now to be trying to do everything by ourselves. And as I said, this isn't just a Trump thing. I mean, we've tried this a lot in the past, too, and it just doesn't tend to work very well.
Yeah. Scott, it's a real pleasure to talk with you about all of this. I think you have some very, very interesting and important points.
Thank you.
I thank you very much for taking the time to do so with us. Good luck to you.
My pleasure.
All right. Scott Lincecome, Cato Institute. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we've been talking a little bit about Trump's poll numbers. They ain't going well right now for him. Is it time to worry? Well, we're going to bring back our buddy, the proprietor of the barber poll, Andrew Ceresi, and find out what he thinks.
Settle down where pretty girls are. Well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them. They don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. It is a Friday. And by the way, You can listen to us any old time, thanks to Ed, because he sets up all of our shows on podcast. So all you do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. You can listen to any of our shows anytime. What a wonderful experience. We give you the top 10 when you click up there, so you'll know what that will be. We give you the person that we're going to interview, all the good things. Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, resolution introduced yesterday by House Republicans condemns our friend Ilhan Omar, the Democrat from Minnesota, after remarks in which she called for supporters to begin, quote, dismantling the whole system of oppression. Well, the Republicans take that to mean like our constitutional government. And a resolution introduced by Andy Biggs, he's a Republican from Arizona, accuses her of advocating for a Marxist form of government that is incompatible with the principles laid out in the founding documents in the United States. And of course, she pushed back. She called that a false smear. And back and forth they go. But I would ask her, you know, point blank, I would say, do you think Marxism is a good philosophical form of government? And should we be leaning towards it? See what she would say there. Hey, we got the proprietor of the barber pole. He is no Marxist, but we want to talk with Andrew, the master barber, a little bit about these slumping numbers. And Andrew, I know you don't believe in polls, but even the White House is starting to worry a little bit about it. And I'm wondering if this pandemic, quite frankly, is helping do Donald Trump in. What do you think?
Well, Paul, to be honest with you, the people I talk to look at what's going on, okay? And they believe that we are at war, okay? They believe we're at war, okay? So everybody that I'm talking to, we're all pro-Trump. They think this pandemic is a bunch of baloney putting on us. Look at all these numbers, how they're all messed up. The only number that's not messed up is the death toll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul? So these people that I'm talking with, and I get around, I know a lot of people, Paul, and they're all saying, listen, man, we're at war with what's going on here. People don't realize that there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, as bad as things are going to get, they're still going to back Trump, my friend.
Well, I know they will. But we got 330 million people.
Paul, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you drive around town, how many Biden flags are you seeing up?
I agree with you. And if it was just around our area here in Tampa Bay, I think you would find
Paul, go down to Crystal River. Do you know what you see there?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but Trump, Paul.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We are at war, period.
But if you go into any of the major cities, you're not going to see that many Trump signs.
The major cities aren't going to carry this country, Paul.
No, I agree.
They're not going to carry it, Paul. America.
Let's forgetting all the signs and everything. If every poll shows his numbers going south, and now he fires his campaign, well, he doesn't fire the campaign man, he demoted
him. Demoted him, of course.
Okay, so that does indicate to a lot of people that they are worried.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many campaign managers did he fire during the first election?
I don't know.
He fired about 3 or 4 of them.
Okay. I think he's got
a pattern, Paul.
I think he's probably wise to do so, but when you got a 15-point lead, and I mean Biden is just basically staying in the basement. He's not going out and doing any. He doesn't take any questions, and quite frankly, I mean this is all. I think these numbers have nothing to do with Biden because Biden's invisible. It has to do with Trump. It has to do with the pandemic. I just think. In a way, sometimes you're a victim, no matter what, you're a victim of circumstances you cannot control and the pandemic.
Well, Paul, then the people are also looking at what the hell would Biden have done in this situation?
I agree with you.
Or Hillary.
But
people are looking at that, Paul.
But Andrew, that's because you're much more attuned into it than the general public. Let's be honest. The general public is much more fickle.
With the general public.
You do.
With the general
public.
Yes, you do. People are diehards, Paul.
I agree.
And you know, when we're at this point, you know what it's time for me to have to do, Paul?
What?
It's time for me to have to wager you on this election.
I still think Trump was going to win.
Okay.
We got four months. We got four months.
You're putting the negativity here.
No, I'm trying
here.
To That's be.
You're putting the negativity there.
Right now,
there, Paul.
I am, because I think that the pandemic is not working in his favor right now.
Oh, I don't think the pandemic is working in anybody's
favor. It is not.
The Democrats either, okay?
No, but it's the party. That's exactly what I said earlier. It's whoever is on the field. And right now, the Trump administration is on the field. So the pandemic occurs, and the Trump administration is on the field. Guess who's going to get blamed?
It's not
That's what
Paul,
I'm saying.
Paul, people are still looking at the other players, Paul.
I agree.
Don't think they're not. They're
I agree.
Looking at the other players, and they're fed up with
and
this
I
whole
think once
situation.
We pull, I think once we pull Biden out of the weeds, out of the basement, into a microphone, questions, debates, it's going to narrow. No question about it.
Of course it's going to narrow.
It's going to narrow.
That's why I'm not worried about it.
And I think of the pandemic.
We don't need to start another panic here.
I agree.
I'm not panicking about it.
I'm not panicking either. But you do have to look at the numbers. And right now at this moment in time, and I say that the public is fickle. I mean, if the pandemic ended, in September as an example.
It's going to end in November. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's before
the 5th. It'll be November the 5th.
Because I think all the issues...
Because on the 5th, it'll be such a landslide. You know they're going to have to keep recounting the numbers. So the pandemic won't end until the 5th.
Yeah. We're talking with the master barber himself. See, he's a great man. He's fighting me tooth and nail here. And he's... I think you make good sense. But, it's just... I think all the issues were going Trump's way. I mean it. Everything was going his way. And I even think all of the writing's going his way because people,
Paul,
don't like it.
Like
it's this doggone pandemic.
People are thinking this Ghislaine Maxwell, whatever her name is there.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
She's going to throw out all kinds of information and this is going to, what's going to happen there? Nothing. That's going to be buried. You aren't going to hear a thing about
it. Why are they waiting until July 2021 to bring her up for trial? What the heck? Why don't you just hang around for bait?
What's the right for? Nothing's going to happen to her. I already told you that situation. They're saving her to bring in Trump. Because if you look at it, they can mention Clinton's name. Who does he care? He's 70-something years old. He's half debt, got money in the bank, and married to Hillary. It's not going to affect him whatsoever. His life's miserable as it is. He'd rather be in jail. But that won't happen. Okay? Then you got
He's
Prince
already
Andrew.
Married to Hillary.
Who cares about Prince Andrew? Do you care about Prince Andrew? Nobody does. The Queen's going to spank him and put him in the closet. Nobody cares. So all the rest of the little people she could name, nobody cares about, Paul.
Uh-huh.
There's only one person they want her to name. They want to hear the big T. They want to hear Donald Trump's name brought up. That's why they're saving her. You watch and see.
They are hoping beyond hope that somehow Donald Trump popped up on the island at some point.
Of course. He's like the little guy said, deplane. They saw Trump's plane flying over. That's all. But anyway, you watch and see. They're gonna, Paul, that's why I'm telling you. People are people are fed up with this pandemic, Paul. I see it every day. I see people walking around. They could care less.
Very much
you
so.
You tell me how many people you see driving in the car with the rubber gloves on, with the masks on. Those are going to be the Biden voters. And you see the other people in the cars cursing about putting their mask on. Those are the Trump voters.
Okay.
Count them out there, Paul.
I think you make good sense. I don't know. It's just right now, we're in such a different universe that we've never been in.
We're in the Twilight Zone.
We
guys should be playing the Twilight Zone
we
song.
We should be playing
because it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? The truth will prevail. Trump will win, and God will rule this country again.
If you had a child, let's just say a couple of fourth graders, and you were debating whether or not to send them into the school...
Off to school they go.
They would go to school. Okay.
Off to school they
you would
go.
Have no
Are
second
you kidding
thoughts?
Me?
Would you put
we're
going
to have more deaths with adults if they stay home than we're going to have the kids getting this and dying.
Yeah.
Believe me. Parents will be committing suicide.
Yeah.
It's time for them to go back to school, Paul. It's time for the country to get going.
I think
it's
you're right.
It's all a bunch of baloney, Paul. I'm sorry. People are into it. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're cursing about it.
I think...
Just like they're trying to push this change thing out. What's the shortage of change? Well, who's hoarding it besides me?
Right.
Okay? It's all a bunch of baloney they're rolling out. They better worry about what's going on in the South China Sea more than anything. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. So...
Okay?
So Also, I don't think the kids are, to be honest, they're not going to learn anything staying at home online. They're not going to learn anything. They're not, you've got to have children like that with
now listen, the
undivided attention.
Not,
and they're not
learning anything at school either. They're just getting babysat.
Yeah, well, to some extent, you're right.
Okay.
But you want them to go back.
And that's right. And you know what? The teachers that are complaining, they need to do a Ronald Reagan to them. The teachers that say, oh, we can't go back to work. You know what? Fire them all and bring up the next line. They're more than willing to teach what we want them to teach and be paid what they deserve to be paid.
Like the air traffic.
And not give us all this baloney, Paul.
Like what Reagan did with the air traffic controllers.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not too happy with the teachers today whatsoever. You know, I'm a firm believer now that the teachers become teachers not because they love children, because they want to work 9 months a year and get paid for 12.
I think a lot of them
50
do.
Million and 50 million vacations in between.
Well, that's why I've always argued for the private schools. I've always thought that because those people that go there, you know that when there is a choice to be made, as is in private schools, you got to teach them well, or you're not going to get the kids to come to your school.
That's right.
And that's much more where I think the good teachers end up going, because they know that if they teach well, they are going to be compensated for it. The school is going to do well. Everything works. It's just like the free market. I think the free market should be.
People are seeing through this, Paul. People are seeing it.
I hope they are.
Believe me, America's not dead yet. If the Democrats get in, we're dead, but yeah. I don't foresee it happening in my crystal ball.
No, don't you think, though, that this November election might be perhaps, as far as this country is concerned, one of the most important elections? Can you imagine if the Democrats, with their left-wing policies and socialistic approach to the government, take control?
This country would be torpedoed, Paul. We would be torpedoed and we'd sink.
Yeah.
We're already in a tailspin, but Trump is keeping us up, man. He's leveling out the trim on the plane, believe me.
How is Governor Ron DeSantis doing right now? He's taking
a
lot of
slings and
arrows.
I think Ron is doing great. He's keeping, of course, Paul, you know why Ron takes flack? Because he's in with Trump, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Look it. We're moving and moving along. How many people have died there so far? Okay, I'm keeping track. I believe it's like 4,400.
In the state of Florida?
In the state of Florida.
Right, okay.
Out of how many people, again, refresh my memory?
About 23 million.
Oh, my God, that's a lot of people.
It is.
Well, on an average, 500 people a day die a day in this state out of 23 million people.
Oh, there's no question about it. Heart attacks.
Okay, all of a sudden, where's this 4,500? A big deal.
I'm with you. I don't think it is. I think we...
Okay.
That's why the governor's doing a great job.
That's why he's keeping things open. These people are going to realize what fools they are fighting this, okay? The teachers are just looking for more time off to spend with their kids in front of their computers. Give me a break.
Did you hear about how they are double counting people? In other words, somebody will get the COVID, and then they'll be tested, okay, and they're positive. So they throw that number into the count. But somehow, some way, that person gets retested later. And what do they do? They add that guy into the count again, but they don't take away from the first count.
Well, I got better than that for you.
So now you got more people that supposedly have it.
I got better than that for you, Paul. I had three customers come in my shop within the last 2 weeks. They said, Andrew, you won't believe this. We went in line at the stadium there or whatever to get tested for the COVID. They said they got their application. They were waiting in the sun for an hour in the heat. They says, we're getting out of here. We're going home. You know what, Paul? A week later, they got test results saying they were positive for the COVID virus.
You're kidding, and they didn't.
And they never got tested.
Holy
three people, Paul.
Wow.
So you tell me, and these people will tell you right on the radio.
Yeah, the mortality numbers you can say, all right, we know that many people died. But then how many of those people, and I thought about this today, how many of those people would have died anyway without the COVID?
That's what I'm saying.
That's
probably 4,400.
I think that those numbers don't necessarily, it's not the COVID that did a lot of those people in either.
Well, Paul, you got to realize, like I told you, when someone dies of COVID, they get $36,000 in the hospital. When someone dies of whatever, they get $13,000 from Medicare. Mm-hmm. So
there's an incentive.
Use that for your imagination.
There's an incentive, yeah.
Follow the money, my friend.
Okay, now I'm positive again. See, I talk with you, and now and I'm not going to bet you about Trump.
You better not bet me, Paul. I'll take your money. I'm going
to. If I bet, I'm going to bet that he's going to win. I want him to win.
There you go. All right.
Hey, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'm going to talk with you
Paul.
Again next week. So take good care.
You have a good weekend, and Trump be with you.
May the Trump be with all of us. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Well, you know, Ed, you got to give him credit. I mean, no matter what I say, he's got a positive spin for Donald Trump. I mean, that's good. And I hope he represents a lot of people. That's just the way we are. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, a Princeton, two of them, teachers say that the cancel culture could possibly do in the Democratic Party.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. Hey, even Lola, who runs the place, she's given me guesses as to who the shortest leading men were, Ed, and I'm not going to tell her because I'm afraid she would tell you, and I'm going to ask you who you think is the very shortest when we do the top 10. But in the meantime, this is kind of interesting. Two professors from Princeton University, they have co-authored a column, came out yesterday, that took apart the country's current cancel culture, right? The woke culture, whatever you want to call it, that they consider based on twisted logic. But they say this, if the trend continues with this woke and cancel culture, the movement should also consider relegating the Democratic Party to the dustbin of history. In other words, they are a part of all of this trouble, too, when it comes to the way our country dealt with African Americans. Now, one's a mathematics professor, and the other one is a political and international affairs professor at Princeton. And they point out that right now there is a clear movement to erase the symbols and examples of American society. But they want to know how far this cancel culture will go. For instance, should we change the name of the months? You got to remember, Julius Caesar, he had all kinds of slaves. So July is for Julius Caesar. We better change the month's name from Julius Caesar. Also, Augustus Caesar, he was a bad dude. So got to get rid of August, too. Then they say, look at the history of the Democratic Party, that up to the 1960s,
was the party of slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, the Ku Klux Klan, lynching, poll taxes, literacy tests for voting. That's all from the Democratic Party. The Speaker of the House, Robert Byrd, did you know he was a Klansman? He was a Democrat? The House Speaker, Robert Byrd, a Ku Klux Klansman. So it sounds like we better cancel the Democratic Party. I think they make some sense. All right. Okay, Ed, here we go, my friend. I want to find out if you know who the number one leading man and how short. I don't want you to.
I think I know. No, I'm just not sure.
Okay.
Okay, well, you just told me that you're never going to guess this.
Well, you might.
Okay, well.
You might. Okay, so anyway, here we go. I actually did this on my own. I wanted to find the top 10 shortest leading men. I thought that'd be interesting. So here we go. Number 10. It's actually a tie. Humphrey Bogart, who, by the way, is considered to be the number one greatest movie star, according to the American Film Institute. He was 5'8". Did you know that?
No.
And James Dean. You've heard of James Dean?
I've heard of him, yeah.
They're both 5'8". They were leading men. Okay. So that's two. So we're going to go now to number eight. We have a four-way tie for number eight. You ready? Tom Cruise, Sylvester Stallone, Gene Kelly, and Al Pacino.
See, Tom Cruise was my second guess.
He's 5'7".
Okay.
He's a shorty.
Yep.
5'7".
Be careful.
How tall are you, Ed?
6'2".
Wow, you are tall.
Be careful. He lives down the street.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
I like Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Being short has nothing to do with it.
He prefers vertically challenged.
That leaves us only four. Okay? So this is actually, these are the top four. So here we go. Number four. Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin
Hoffman is 5'6".
He's not freakishly short. So.
He's shorter than Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Did you ever see
Nobody ever made fun of his height, though.
No. You know,
maybe he just never dated anybody taller than him. I mean, that was the whole thing with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. You know, she has to wear
Nicole
flats
Kidman,
all the time.
Yeah.
Remember when they broke up, she goes, I can finally wear heels.
All right, but there's a tie. It's Dustin Hoffman. Roll the drum again. And a guy by the name of Alan Ladd, big time leading man. Do you remember that name by any chance?
Nope.
Oh gosh, he was big time in the 50s.
Oh well.
And I don't start.
Yeah, unless my mother pressed her stomach against the TV, I've never heard of it.
So we got two left. Here we go. Number two. And Lola guessed this right. Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, yeah.
He was one of the greatest Hollywood actors of all time. 5'5". Okay? And the next guy, I think, was just a touch shorter than him, and it's number one. But before I give you that, I want you to tell me. Oh. I want you to tell me.
You want me to tell you who I thought?
I don't
know if he was ever a leading man, but I would have said Danny DeVito. I don't know.
That's a good guess. Roll the drum.
Because he was in Batman, but I'm not sure that was considered leading.
He would have been if he was considered a leading
man. Okay.
Because you know what? He's about 4'10".
Yeah.
He's really short. And he's shorter than this guy that I'm about to tell you. James Cagney.
Okay.
You remember Jimmy Cagney?
I heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. Big time, short, leading man. And just a touch under what Charlie Chaplin was, 5'4.5".
Mm.
So there you go. But you know, I forgot one other guy that could have been on the list. I don't know if you'd call him a leading man, but in a way, as a kid he was. Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
I believe he was about 5'2", 5'1.5", 5'2".
Hmm.
He was real short. So there you go. Anyway, pretty interesting. Thank you very much for being with us. We are going to be back on Monday. Have a safe weekend and never, ever forget, no matter how or where or when, that freedom works.
I'm so deep. WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills. FM.